It seems like forever since you were... Well, no, wait a minute. That's what you all say to me. By way of explanation, last Monday and Tuesday, we had kind of planned to be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But last Monday... See, I'm almost afraid to say this because then the Christians will start praying for disaster in our family. You know, the imprecatory prayer?
But that only works if you believe in that. See, since I don't believe in that.
I know.
You don't believe in that.
I know, neither do I.
They can pray to doorknobs and it doesn't matter.
I know. All right, well... But then I get emails from the Republicans and the baggers and the right-wingers that say, oh, the bitch dies! Pardon me. First of all, last Monday night, we played, was it Monday night and Tuesday night? We played two previous programs, and they were recorded months and months and months ago, I think, and back in the bad old days when I was using bad language, and... It occurred to us at some point during the night when those two were playing that the people who had asked us to cut back on the bad language might be offended. We were in an emergency situation, so if you're a program director that heard the SOB word and the GD word again, I do apologize, but we had to grab something very quickly and get it on the air, or it would have been dead air. And I think most of the stations along the line can handle an SOB or a GD rather than dead air. But what happened was last Monday, Kathy's going to need a procedure inside her heart. She has a condition that brings on tachycardia. When she was about 20 years old, she had a heart attack and had to go to the hospital, and they had to, boom, put the paddles on and zap her up. Tell them I had back-to-back episodes. Oh, yeah, right. So Monday... she had a tachycardia attack, and the way it works with this particular syndrome that she has, and other people have it, we found out, a lot of people have it, you know, your heart rate goes up to about 200 beats a minute, and your heart can only sustain that for so long, and if it's not stopped, it'll start to fibrillate. Once it starts to fibrillate, you can die fairly quickly, and that's called a major coronary event. So anyway, her heart rate went up to... over 200 beats a minute, and it stayed there for about an hour. I think part of the reason was she and Molly climbed up Stone Mountain, which is not far from where we live. She climbs up a mountain, and it was real hot that day, and she came back, and then it occurred while she was at the supermarket. So she came home, and after about an hour, she said, okay, call 911. So I called and got the emergency, the medics, and so on and so forth. And they gave her the necessary injections. It took a while, but they finally got her heart back to what's normal for her, which is about 80 beats a minute. And but once they give you those injections, the rules are they have to get you to an ER. So they took her to Emory University Medical Center and wired her up and yada, 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 yada. To make a long story short, that was Monday. Tuesday, we thought she was having a second event. So it's been a pretty hairy week. Trust me. You know, we weren't goofing around. So the way it all wound up, she met with her electrocardiologist. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Electrocardiologist. These are, cardiologists who work with this particular syndrome or like syndromes. So she's going to join the Dick Cheney Club and have a heart catheter. In about 2 weeks, what they do is put a wire through the femoral artery up into your heart, and they map it. They take a look. They've already done echocardiograms and all that stuff, but they map the inside of her heart, find out where this little bastard is, this little nerve ending that goes, hey, let's make her heart go 200 beats a minute. And then they use electric charge, and they zap it. Pretty much essentially is what it does. And that stops this syndrome, this tachycardia thing. And it's gotten pretty serious. So that's what happened. You know, we didn't just decide the last minute to bail out on everybody. Oh, let's go play. You know, that wasn't the case at all. So it was a pretty hairy situation. To the affiliates who got upset regarding the language, you have to understand... we were in a situation where we didn't know what program we were pulling to put up that night, both nights. And thank God Brad Friedman stepped in. We had tentatively scheduled Brad for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday anyway, just to take 3 days off and do some work around the ranch here, you know, cut and brush and stuff. So anyway, that's the story. It's not particularly a big deal. She's going to have this procedure in a couple of weeks. And if all goes well, you know, we'll be off that Thursday. They do it on a Thursday. We'll be back on a Friday the next day. So just so you know. Okay, send in all the emails now from the right-wingers that say, we hope the bitch dies. Go ahead. You know, I fully expect it. And we'll be upset if it doesn't happen, because I know you people. I know you people. Beck's listeners were hard at work last week, or maybe it was last Tuesday. A couple of Glenn Beck, I don't know how many, but this is in Ipswich, New York. There's a church there, United Church of Christ, which is a very liberal, progressive congregation, was firebombed. Two Molotov cocktail explosive devices were found at the building. Police told News Center 5 in Boston that someone tried to set the first church in Ipswich. Is that Ipswich, New York? Or is it Massachusetts? I guess it's Massachusetts. My bad. Anyway, police told News Center 5 that someone tried to set the first church in Ipswich on fire twice. Once just before 1 a.m., same night, and then again about 4:30 a.m. It appeared someone tried to toss a fuel-filled bottle with a rag stuffed into the opening onto the roof of the church. It was found on the ground about 5 feet from a church wall. Another attempt left another bottle closer to the church a few hours later. Now, two young males, white males, were spotted in the area. No arrests were made. No one was injured. The First Church of Ipswich, United Church of Christ, this is what it says on their website. I think this is their website. A vibrant seaside congregation of 300 with a commitment to community, both inside and outside the church. It's alive with stories, both from the Bible and our daily lives. We're culturally, economically, politically, and socially diverse. Artisans celebrate alongside athletes. Refugees worship alongside realtors. Fishermen work alongside physicians. We support fellowship through service to others and social and spiritual gatherings. The creative, emotional, and intellectual lives of friends and members are engaged through worship, hands-on projects, educational programs, and chances to celebrate. Now, this is one of those churches that Glenn Beck insisted that people should resign from. If your church was doing justice, seeking peace, building community, watch out! That's communism! So apparently some of Beck's listeners took this to heart and tried to firebomb the church. On their website, it says, doing justice, seeking peace, and building community are central to the identity of the United Church of Christ. We invite you to explore the breadth and depth of UCC's justice work. Join us in building stronger faith-based movement of peace, justice, equality, and inclusivity. That's the type of church that Glenn Beck said run away from. And that's the type of church that subterranean message that comes from Beck to his brain-dead, half-witted followers is to go set it on fire. That's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. Another Beck listener is this doctor in Florida, in the Orlando area. You probably already know about this. I'm trying to catch up here. I'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I have gotten so many of the damnedest emails lately from right-wingers. It's amazing. Every time Hannity tries to get defensive about me on his program, I get like 11 or 12 emails. Every time Bort says something, I get 7 or 8. Every time Beck says something, I get 15 or 20. We just got to get Limbaugh to say something about me. You know, I've been trying to irritate that tub of lard for the past 10 years. Just can't seem to get him motivated. Oh, well. Oh, and I just wanted to mention, no, that's not the right word. I don't know how to do it. I'll do it later. A Beck listener too. The first Beck listeners, or viewers are the ones who tried to bomb the, United Church of Christ in Ipswich, Massachusetts. And there's this Florida urologist posted a sign on his door telling patients if they voted for Obama in 2008 to seek care elsewhere. How do you like that? Dr. Jack Cassell. He said, I'm not turning anybody away. That would be unethical. But if they read the sign and turn the other way, so be it. Just amazing. This is a guy who is obviously in the medical business for the money. If you need a urologist, I wouldn't go to this crazy loon. I really wouldn't. That's somebody who never heard of the Hippocratic Oath, obviously. What a bunch of swine. And it's only because Barack Obama is a black man. That's it. That's the whole reason these teabag monkeys are chattering in their cages, is because Barack Obama is a black man. What do teabaggers and terrorists both believe? Somebody sent this to me. Who was it? Doesn't matter. But this is it's not a comparison. It's a similarity between these bagger freaks running around the country with it. What do they have going now? The Teabag Express. Ooh, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Oh boy. Teabaggers and terrorists both believe the American government is evil and must be destroyed. Teabaggers and terrorists both believe it is acceptable to murder Americans in order to achieve the goal of destroying the American government. Teabaggers and terrorists believe any government should be based on their religious views and doctrines, and their religious laws must be forced on everybody else. Teabaggers and terrorists both believe their actions, no matter how violent, how destructive, or how murderous, are good and moral and righteous. Teabaggers and terrorists both believe that religious fanaticism is not only acceptable, but commendable in a leader. Teabaggers and terrorists both believe science is evil and education should be based on religious indoctrination from a young age. Woo! Satan is stalking the Vatican. Ah! Teabaggers and terrorists both believe it is acceptable to use censorship, threats, intimidation, violence, and harassment to silence their critics. Teabaggers and terrorists both believe that the interests of business and religion far outweigh the rights of the individual. And teabaggers and terrorists both believe that committing murder in the name of their God is a holy act that will be rewarded in their afterlife. Oh, yeah. And finally, teabaggers and terrorists both believe that racial and religious segregation and discrimination are acceptable and desirable characteristics of government and individuals. Isn't that true? Where'd this come from? This come from, probably from Bart Cop. But, isn't that the truth? Teabaggers in this country and international terrorists, it doesn't make any difference, what the international terrorists, what stripe they are, if they're, you know, what their religious beliefs are. But the international terrorists and the teabaggers in this country are one and the same. They're exactly the same. Not a dime's worth of difference between them. All right, we have a break? Yeah. When we come back, I want to go over again what Hannity and Oliver North are doing to the widows and orphans of dead servicemen. And it just seems like nothing is going to stop them. They're just going to keep ripping off families who have lost a husband, a father, a son in these corporate wars that Bush started and Obama continues. And, you know, like most right-wingers, like most Republicans, they have figured out a way to cash in on the deaths of other people. So we'll cover that when we come back again. All right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Holloway.
Your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. I got an email from Francis in Washington who said, I saw this today and wanted to send it to you just in case you haven't already heard about it. Well, yeah, we talked about this, I guess, about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. That's what started that little trickle of really hate-filled, sick emails from people who took offense at the fact that I said Sean Hannity is ripping off dead soldiers' wives and children, which he is, and so is Oliver North. That shows you how screwy some of these right-wingers really are. But what was sent to me, it says, if you think the RNC's $2,000 splurge for faux lesbian strippers is bad, then you have no idea what grandstanding Republicans are really capable of. Take Sean Hannity, for example. The most annoying man in America has shouted loudly enough to convince millions of Americans that he is one of the few rich men who have their back. Well, just like Glenn Beck, right? After hearing about his latest fundraising snafu, we're hoping you aren't drinking his Kool-Aid. Hannity, along with Oliver North, run the Freedom Alliance, a multi-million-dollar charity that claims to raise scholarship money for the children of veterans who are either wounded or killed in action. Each year, this pair raises money through the annual Freedom Concert Tour, in which they engage in all sorts of folksy posturing on stage as great American bands, which are really marginally racist and totally white trash, play for the masses. However, just as Hannity and company were getting ready to kick off their August tour, news broke last week. The Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, that's CREW, are now accusing the group of consumer fraud and abuse of its tax-exempt status. CREW's website gives an itemization of the Freedom Alliance's expenditures and earnings. According to their report, Hannity's group spends more on postage than it does on scholarship to the children of poor veterans. Postage, $1.4 million. These lying bastards. $1.4 million in postage? Emails don't cost anything, Sean. In 2007, the charity, quote, quote, Freedom Alliance, collected more than $12.7 million in donations. It handed out less than $900,000 in scholarships, while retaining more than an extra $19 million they'd already collected in net assets and paying out more than $1.4 million in salaries. Now, remember what Hannity and Oliver North have been saying, that every dime collected goes to the widows and children of grievously wounded American veterans or dead soldiers. They're lying. They're stealing. What they're doing is some of the filthiest. I mean, I knew that Oliver North was a complete sociopath and a disgrace to the U.S. Marine Corps. There's no question about that. And I also knew that Hannity was a half-witted moron who is a millionaire thanks to Newt Gingrich and Rupert Murdoch. Hannity has about as much talent as a sack of dead worms. And everybody in the industry knows that. I mean, that's not a news flash. Anyway, knowing that Oliver North was a disgrace to the United States Marine Corps, and that Hannity is a half-wit who is totally derivative, is not something that you have to spend a lot of time researching. But to find out that these two are using the so-called Freedom Alliance to steal from the widows and orphans. I hate to use that term. It sounds like something out of Snidely Whiplash, but that's exactly what it is, to steal from the families of dead soldiers. I mean, Jesus God, is there anything lower than that? I mean, hey, Sean, why don't you go bust open the coffins? I mean, Oliver North can get you into Arlington National Cemetery. I mean, after all, he was a lieutenant colonel. He can get you in there, Sean. Why don't the two of you slime balls go in there with shovels and just dig up the corpses and steal the rings and medals and stuff they were buried with? Wouldn't that be a little more honorable than stealing with your damn Freedom Alliance, or Freedom Alliance concerts? Freedom Alliance sounds like something out of Nazi Germany. Jawohl, Freedom Alliance! We will collect money for the widows and children! Yeah, sure you will. This is one of the lowest, low-down things I think I've ever heard of. Hannity says, it's just a liberal smear campaign. Conservative blogger Debbie Schlussel, who first put this up, quoted sources who claim that Hannity uses the children of veterans as little more than a personal fundraising ploy. He's used the group's funds to pay for his private jets, luxury SUVs, and penthouse suites, not to mention his trips to the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. What scum. What filth. So it's still going on with Hannity and Oliver North. And they don't have to quit. Why should they quit? Why should they quit stealing from the widows and children of dead soldiers? Why should they quit? That's a gravy train, man. They can steal and steal, and why should they quit? Who's going to make them quit? Because any charge against them, and if you take a look, what's at crew.org, is the tax returns filed by this filthy Freedom Alliance. Tax returns. So it's stuff that North and Hannity and their accountant, stuff that they wrote down. It's stuff that they filed. $1.4 million for postage. Amazing. Oh, well. And again, Hannity and North do this with impunity. Why shouldn't they? That's the point. Not to be redundant, but why should they stop? Who's going to make them stop? The Republican Party? They have nothing to do with it. The teabaggers? They don't care. They're running their own scams. I know, maybe Glenn Beck will step in and say, hey, boys, it's okay to rip off the terminally gullible, but do you have to go after the widows and orphans? I was going to get to them. Now, you guys have taken a revenue stream away from me. Filth. Absolute filth. So Hannity can talk about me as much as he wants. It doesn't change the fact that he is stealing from dead soldiers. Stealing. And so is that miserable psychopath, Oliver North. Stealing. Stealing from the families of dead soldiers. Stealing. Stealing. Takes a lot of, balls to do that, huh, boys? Richard Dawkins, my favorite atheist and scientist, is planning a legal ambush, according to the Times Online, the Times United Kingdom, to have the Pope arrested during his state visit to Britain for crimes against humanity. Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, another one of my favorite atheists, although Hitchens kind of pisses me off about certain issues. But anyway, these two guys have asked human rights lawyers to produce a case for charging Benedict the 16th, the Nazi Pope, over his cover-up of sexual crimes in the Catholic Church. The pair believe they can exploit the same legal principle used to arrest Augusto Pinochet, the late Chilean dictator, when he visited Britain in 1998. Benedict will be in Britain between September 16th and 19th, where he will be visiting London, Glasgow, and Coventry, where he will beatify Cardinal John Henry Newman, 19th century theologian. I wonder how many kids he molested. Huh? He was a cardinal, probably hundreds. Dawkins and Hitchens believe the Pope would be unable to claim diplomatic immunity from arrest because although his tour is categorized as a state visit, he's not the head of a state recognized by the United Nations. So they have commissioned two barristers to prevent a justification for legal action. Dawkins, who is the author of The God Delusion, said, quote, "This is a man whose first instinct when his priests are caught with their pants down is to cover up the scandal and damn the young victims to silence." End quote. And Hitchens said, quote, "This man is not above or outside the law. The institutionalized concealment of child rape is a crime under any law and demands not private ceremonies of repentance or church-funded payoffs, but justice and punishment." End quote. Man, and now, what is it now? The Catholic Church, the spokesman for this terrorist organization, are saying it's the fault of gays. That child molestation, child sexual abuse is perpetrated by homosexual men. And that is 180 degrees from the truth. What is it, 95%? Pick a number, 95, 98, 100, I don't know, percent. Of child molestation cases are committed by heterosexual males. But, you know, it's the atheists, and it's Satan, and it's the gays, and it's what next? The socialists, what next? The communists, what comes next? All those different entities, individuals, and people are the ones responsible for this criminal activity. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mullen.
Radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So a quick email here from Don. This looks like it came from bartcop.com too. In Kenya, a Catholic priest continues to run a facility after being charged with child rape. Norway, swamped by priest tips. I had so many emails, the server crashed. Oakland, California. Oakland abuse victims speak. Exploring sexual abuse in Bay Area parishes. Colorado priest faces sex charges. Delaware Parish settles suit. A person named Doherty was raped repeatedly as an altar boy. Canadian church hid abuse. Monsignor Prince abused 13 boys over 20 years. It just goes on and on. I'm telling you, the Catholic Church has got to, it's got to be ended. It has to end itself. I think, this Pope has got to resign. He's got to get out of there. He's a criminal. He's the head of one of the longest-lived criminal organizations in the history of the human race. That's the Catholic Church. And this, the crime continues, not just the child rape, but, you know, the centuries of murder and theft and deceit and lies and duplicity and hypocrisy by this crazed male organization. This, it's just, man, I don't know. I don't know how to put it in words. It's awful. Awful. Over the weekend, I watched, as I'm sure a lot of you did, this video from WikiLeaks. What is it? WikiLeaks.org. A case of collateral murder. Did you see the video of a U.S. Helicopter gunship, an Apache helicopter in Baghdad a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, repeatedly opening fire on a group of men that included a Reuters photographer and his driver? And then they opened fire on a van that stopped to rescue the wounded man. And inside the van were a couple of children. And the comments from, you know, these so-called American heroes, this is the part that I don't understand. If somebody wants to join the military and go kill people, that's one thing. If somebody wants to participate in the illegal invasion and occupation of another country that did nothing to us, you know, that to me indicates a real social pathology on the part of that individual who joins the military for that reason. I mean, really, if people join up because there's no jobs, if people join up because they need health insurance, that might be a mitigating factor or two, even though they are joining a terrorist organization. Did you have any question about this? Seriously. Do you have any question that the CIA, which organizes these wars, these invasions, these occupations, they're not wars. They are calculated slaughter. They are acts of terror against civilian populations. The Afghans don't have an army. The Iraqis don't have an army. I mean, it's just madness. So these guys join up, mostly men. They join up. They take part in these crimes against humanity in these foreign countries. And then when they come home, you know, either alive and not wounded, or alive and wounded, or alive and grievously wounded, or dead, when they come home, they're referred to as our heroes. Well, you have a chance to see our heroes in action by looking at this video, Collateral Murder, at WikiLeaks.org. The reporters working for WikiLeaks determined that the driver of the van that showed up after these men walking down the street with cameras, men walking down the street, and one of them had a gun, an AK-47 or whatever it was, strapped to his back. I mean, Jesus God, look where he lives, right? So this Apache gunship kept circling and circling until finally they got permission from somebody to open fire. When a van came to rescue, I think one guy survived. When the van came to rescue him, to take him to a hospital or something, they opened up again. In the video, which Reuters news agency had been asking to see since 2007, crew members, our American heroes, can be heard celebrating their kills. One crewman, after multiple rounds of 30-millimeter cannon fire, left a dozen bodies littering the street. One guy says, "Oh, yeah, look at those dead bastards." A crewman, an American, begs for permission to open fire on the van and its occupants, even though it's done nothing but to stop and help the wounded. This guy says, "Come on, let us shoot." Two other American soldiers share a laugh when a Bradley fighting vehicle runs over one of the corpses. And after soldiers on the ground find two small children shot and bleeding in the van, one crewman could be heard saying, well, it's their fault bringing their kids to a battle. Did you look at the video I sent you? You've not seen it yet, Kathy? Oh, my God. The helicopter crew, which was patrolling an area that had been the scene of fighting that morning, said they spotted weapons on members of the first group, although the video shows one gun. The crew also mistook a telephoto lens for a rocket-propelled grenade. It just goes on and on and on. You ought to check it out. It's at WikiLeaks, WIKILeaks.org, and find it. Collateral Murder. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. We are streaming at MikeMalloy.com. Video streaming. Web streaming. Whatever it's called. What I wanted to do last hour, and it just got away from me, is I would like... cut the music, Kathy. I'd like everything to get quiet here for just a few seconds. A moment of silence to the 29 miners in Mount Cole, West Virginia, who died because of the filth and greed of Massey Coal Company. Thanks. The worst tragedy in the coal industry I've read in 30 years. And, this is what happens when you destroy unions. This is what happens. This is what I talk about on this program a lot. Predatory capitalism, that is the biggest threat to human life in the history, economic history, or any history of the United States other than the Catholic Church. And now the evangelicals are trying to, get a piece of the action from the Catholic Church. But, predatory capitalism, and I've said this on this program for years, cares not a damn about human life. It doesn't. The only thing it's interested in is profit. The only thing it cares about, predatory capitalism, and the people who operate the machine that is predatory capitalism, is how much money they can squeeze out of one more natural resource, one more worker. They don't get, you know, black lung, mind disease, disasters, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. To work as a miner is to literally take your life in your hands. And I think the people who work in the mines understand this, but it's like a lot of Christians who really do think that they're going to go someplace called heaven when they croak. Miners really do believe that every time they go underground that they're going to get out with their lives. And, you know, for the most part, that's true. And one of the reasons for the most part it's true is because over the years, the demands put on these predatory capitalist bastards by United Mine Workers, by the various unions. Unions are useless in this country at this point. They are incapable of accomplishing anything, really, truly. And of course, that's in spite of the fact that Sean Hannity and who steals money from dead soldiers' families, and Glenn Beck, who is a certifiable sociopath, in spite of the fact that these people tell you that, you know, this is a socialist country and the unions are taking over and so on and so forth. The recent Supreme Court ruling that said corporations have as much right to spend as much money as human beings and even more, and unions too, as if there was some equivalence between predatory capitalists, corporate America, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and what remains of the union movement in this country. But those dead miners, those 29 men and the families and all the people involved is testament to exactly what we talk about in this program. Capitalism doesn't give a damn whether you live or die. It doesn't give a damn how dangerous the work is. It laughs at rules and regulations. Come to find out that Massey Coal Company, or whatever the hell name it's called now, has been cited, what, hundreds of times for violations? And they laugh at it. They give the middle finger. Whatever, we're being cited? Oh, okay. What's the fine this time? $1,500? Okay, check's in the mail. Miserable, miserable bastards. To the families and the people in Mount Cole, West Virginia, they'll bury their dead and the mines will open and they go back to work because there are very few choices. But when you take a look at the predations of organized religion, the crimes against humanity, the war crimes committed by 19, 20, 22, 23, 24-year-old U.S. soldiers, the utter and absolute destruction perpetrated against this country by predatory capitalism, you got to sit down sometime and just scratch your head and say, Jesus, God, if it's corporate America, military America, and religious America, all corrupt to the point of without a second's thought, raping children, murdering civilians in the street, sending coal miners down to their deaths without a thought, then what does that mean? What does that mean? I do not understand why anyone in the United States would join the U.S. military at this point. I do not understand, unless you're a complete sociopath yourself, or if you're desperate for a job and you just hope, well, my unit won't get sent anyplace to fight. If you're desperate for a job, desperate for health insurance, desperate to learn a skill, and the military makes it sound so good, don't they? Come on, sign up. Oh, God. Come on. Hey, come on in. Hiya, hiya. Come on, you dumb people. Sign up. We're going to teach you a skill. You're going to come out of the military being a welder. No. You're going to come out being internet technologist. That's what you'll be. Oh. You'll come out sick. Wounded, exposed to depleted uranium, crazed from what you've seen and what you've been forced to do by corporate America. How does somebody join the military today? And then when you come home, pigs like Sean Hannity and Oliver North will hold concerts and get money and say, hey, we're going to support all the dead soldiers' wives and children. And then they will steal the money. They will spend $1.4 million on Postage. Roz in Canada writes, Mike, sorry to say, but the Americans are just like the Israelis when it comes to killing people left, right, and center, and they're never called to justice. She's referring to the unencrypted or the de-encrypted video that the WikiLeaks put out there. Roz writes, Why can you tell me, do they always get a pass? It was disgusting listening to those men on the video. They just couldn't wait to fire and kill anything that moved. Let's face it, life is cheap to them. Yet let it happen on American or Israeli soil, and all hell breaks loose. It's obscene, Mike. I want to scream when I see the injustice, and nobody says a word, except people like you and a few others. Damn them all to hell. Roz. Yeah, if you watch that video and you can hold your head up and say, by God, hey, I salute the American flag, you're a piece of human waste. You're just an absolute piece of human waste. And the one part of the video, you can hear the American, some nice-sounding young American guy, young American man, right, up in his gunship with his 30-millimeter cannons, sitting up there like he's playing a video game, and one of the wounded is crawling across the one that the truck comes, the van comes to scoop up to take to a hospital, probably, or for first aid. And you can hear this American hero soldier, this real hero dude. And he's saying, just crawl toward a gun. Just reach for a gun. Just reach for a gun. Go ahead. Reach for a gun. And this poor wounded man, these are all civilians, crawling. And then the van pulls up. And the van was being driven by a man who was taking his kids to some kind of a music recital. And he heard that civilians had been gunned down, and he went to try to help. And they opened fire on him. These are American heroes, folks.
In the briars and bushes about covered.
To that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Governor of West Virginia says, quote, the miners didn't suffer. The journey has come to an end, and now the healing can begin, end quote. What does that mean? In the first place, how would the governor of West Virginia know whether or not the miners suffered? I mean, if you're hit with a blast of methane and all of a sudden you suffocate, is the governor of West Virginia convinced that means, well, they didn't suffer? And the journey has come to an end and now the healing can begin. Healing. What does this guy know? 29 families. Oh, more than that. But the families of 29 men, their extended families and their immediate families, have to live with the realization that their husband, their brother, their father suffocated in a mine disaster because Massey Energy is the name, I guess, decided, no, the lives of the miners are not worth the extra, $100,000 or whatever to make sure that the mine is run properly. Or, you know, the situation was set up so that the miners could not organize. They couldn't form unions. Cat Mary sends this, the Upper Big Branch Mine Disaster, that's the official name of this, highlights why standing up for workers is so important. When workers are prevented from joining a union and standing up for their rights, companies can get away with ignoring their safety and well-being. Massey Energy, which operated this mine, has, in the last 5 years, been cited for 38,997 safety violations. Not just this one mine, but Massey Energy across the country. This very mine had received citations for improper methane ventilation. The unassailable fact is that union mines are much safer than non-union mines. Union miners have representation. They can refuse unsafe work. They can fight for better conditions. They can file grievances. And they can look out for their union brothers and sisters. Now, Glenn Beck would say, and these other filth on radio and television, these right-wing filth pigs will say that the unions, you know, are socialist and got to get rid of them. Oh, God, don't get me started on that again. This was at Bart Cop. Neil Bortz, who lives here in the Atlanta area, and is just a filthy, filthy, dirty, another one of these millionaires, right-wing clan. Neil Bortz would love to start his own clan clavern, and would, except for the fact he's a little bit too high profile. But he said on the air the other day, if Obama is hurting your business and you have to lay off someone, why not lay off someone on your staff who voted for Obama? They contributed to your problem. That's a quote from Neil Bortz. Bart Kopp writes, you might have a good idea there. If you don't like a bankrupt America, vote against the people who voted to spend $1 trillion on Iraq and $1.5 trillion to give the super rich tax cuts. If you vote your wallet, you'll vote Democrat every time. Bortz is perpetually pissed off. He has back trouble, and he's perpetually pissed off because he's not this little upstart punk Sean Hannity, and he could never be. He doesn't have the presence to be Glenn Beck, and he's never had the audience base to be the pig man, Limbaugh. So as a result of that, Bortz has been walking around Atlanta for the past 30 years just furious because he's always been just local talent who happened to get syndicated around the country to a few markets. But Bortz is another one of those ultra-millionaires who is a racist. He believes that if people are down and out, it makes no difference how they got there. If the company they worked for left the country, if the job disappeared, doesn't make any difference. Bortz is just another one of these scum-sucking right-wingers who couldn't care less about the rest of humanity. Man, how do they do it? How do they do it? Why does radio and television... Never mind. All right, we have a break coming here. When we come back, I think we're going to... a couple more things, and then we're going to open up the phones. Not yet, so don't call yet. This governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, isn't he the new one? Isn't he the evangelical Christian? Made headlines last week when he proclaimed April National Confederacy Month. Designed to remember and honor the sacrifices of the Confederacy, and insisted it had nothing to do with slavery. I'll tell you, the deeper you scratch into a right-wing Republican Christian evangelical, the more you find worms and maggots. You know what I'm saying?
Half a past four, heard them ahead, mighty once four more, got the blues, blue, Lord, Lord. Oh, black mine and blue. That's come out the bottom, dipping up sand. Along comes Shorty, says, I got another man. You got the blues, you got the blues, you got the blues, Lord, Lord. Oh, black mine and blue. Oh, Herb on the tip-off, singing this song. Get gone, Herb, cause winds are coming on. You got the blues, you got the blues, you got the blues, Lord, Lord. Oh, black mine and blue.
Life's
too short to listen to Right Wing Radio, here's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Andre, in regards to what the West Virginia governor said about the journey's end, the healing can begin, Andre writes, that's coded words. It means he will not prosecute the corporation that owns his state. Yeah. And Irish Dave writes, I must respectfully disagree. Those miners don't take their lives in their own hands when they go to the mine. Their lives are in the company's hands. And regarding those soldiers, those heroic soldiers were just following orders. Pretty soon we will have Take Your Son to War Day. Yeah, I bet we will. And Michael and Roswell, remember all the crap that the Winter Soldiers took during the Vietnam years for testifying that My Lai wasn't an exception? That indiscriminate killing of civilians was very common. Same here. Lots of people on the left and the right are still in denial about this and think this is an isolated incident, the killing of the civilians in that video. If that's the case, how have so many civilians been killed in these latest wars? That's the value of what WikiLeaks is doing. They're showing that it is common. The raw truth is that killing civilians from the air has been an accepted part of war for the United States since World War II, when the practice became the norm rather than the exception. If you haven't seen that video, you need to see it. I know a lot of people don't want to see it because it is brutal and violent and exposes an aspect of the great American war hero that most people don't want to know about. The governor of Virginia made headlines when he said April would be National Confederacy Month, designed to remember and honor the sacrifices of the Confederacy. Governor Bob McDonnell proclamation reads, quote, whereas it is important for all Virginians to reflect upon our Commonwealth's shared history, to understand the sacrifices of the Confederate leaders, the soldiers and citizens during the period of the Civil War, and to recognize how our history has led to our present. End quote. Oh, my God. Talk about a distortion of history. Despite the outrage from the masses, because a lot of people really freaked out about this, Ashley Papon, writing at globalshift.org, she writes, despite the cries of outrage from the masses, McDonald's behavior shouldn't shock anyone. Governor McDonnell, who has argued in the past that governmental policies should favor married heterosexual couples, and that feminism is destroying the family unit, isn't exactly renowned for progressive policy thinking. Yeah, I mean, you ever notice the similarities with these crazy bastards, right? Condemn the queers. Feminism, condemn the women. Feminism is destroying the family unit. Oh, and by the way, Civil War was A, not fought about slavery, and B, those people don't count. You know, I'm talking about the good white folks that had their way of life disturbed. The proclamation comes from pressure exerted primarily by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, an all-male group that restricts membership to only those who can prove to be descendants from actual Confederate soldiers. The Sons of Confederate Veterans had previously petitioned two Democratic predecessors to McDonnell, who wisely opted not to pass the proclamation. Additionally, the Sons of Confederate Veterans still exhibit largely white supremacist leanings. The Southern Poverty Law Center reports that the leader, back in 1996, the leader of the Sons of Confederate Veterans attempted to minimize the horror of slavery by saying, quote, There have been times when I wish someone had said to me, I'll give you a job for the rest of your life. That's what this guy said. He said, you know, why did the slaves complain? They were given a job for the rest of their lives. Jesus, God. One can only wonder if that jerk would also like for someone to deny him the right to own property, the right to select his own mate, the right to raise his children, the right to be able to learn how to read, the right to be able to learn how to write. Did you know that if you taught a slave how to read and write, you were subject to being hanged? You didn't know that, huh? Once Governor McDonald found himself at the center of the ballyhoo for slavery's omission, he once again minimized the lasting impact of slavery. This is what he said on Tuesday, quote, last Tuesday, quote, there are any number of aspects of that conflict between the states. Obviously, it involved slavery. It involved other issues, but I focused on the ones I thought were most significant for Virginia, end quote. So slavery was not considered among the most significant issues in Virginia's history. This really is a country that just wallows in racism. And that's what has set all these right-wingers into madness, is the fact that we now have a black president. Man. The same states that insisted they had the right to own other human beings committed the greatest act of treason in defying the national government. Yet this revival of the old South now characterizes the Civil War as an issue of states' rights and protecting our way of life. McDonald, governor of Virginia, told the Washington Post, quote, I felt just as I've issued dozens and dozens of other commemorations that it was something that was worthy of doing so people can at least study and understand that period of Virginia history and how it impacts us today. What this freak fails to recognize is how that period of Virginia history impacts us today, how it really does. Well, you know, we've said it before, I'll say it again. White Southern male evangelicals believe that slaves should follow something in the Old Testament about slaves should do what their masters tell them and do it lovingly and shut up. And, of course, American capitalism says the same thing. If you're a slave, whether it's a wage slave or a plantation slave, sit down, shut up, give your soul to corporate America because that's all you're worth. You poor, miserable bastard. And now Governor Haley Barbour on Sunday stuck his large ass right in the middle of this, defending Governor Bob McDonald for his decision to declare Confederate History Month. he said that the legacy of slavery doesn't amount to diddly. Diddly. Doesn't amount to diddly. I don't know why everybody is talking about what Governor McDonald said. Slavery, it doesn't amount to diddly. Them weren't human beings. Them were niggers. Niggers ain't human beings. Hell, they were only three-fifths of a human being back at the beginning. Haley Barbour. Haley Barbour, who should be in prison, former head of the Republican National Committee, who committed all sorts of deceit and fraud where it concerned Chinese under-the-table money. Remember that? Nah, hell no. Of course you don't remember it. Nobody remembers it. Do a Google search. Put down Haley Barbour, B-A-R-B-O-U-R, Haley Barbour, and scandal or Chinese money or, you know, whatever. And find out what this filthy piece of human waste, Haley Barbour. And you know what else Haley Barbour did? He got a lot of money after the hurricane hit Mississippi Gulf Coast because, you know, he's Republican. He wasn't like that woman governor of Louisiana, that Democrat. Haley Barbour was a white man and a God-fearing Christian and a Republican and the former head of the RNC. So George Bush got him lots of money for them poor folks who had their whole lives shattered down there in Mississippi. And you know what Haley Barbour did? He made sure that money went to developers who could build luxury condominiums adjacent to the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, so that when Ole Miss had its big football games, the graduates of Ole Miss who contribute lots of money, the good white boys who contribute lots of money to Haley Barbour's political campaign and the Republican Party, would have a nice place to go to watch the game and bring their hoes, no offense to sex workers, you know, leave the wife at home, wives stay home and take care of the chillens, and the white good old boys from University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, they now have luxury condominiums thanks to the U.S. taxpayer. That Haley Barbour. Of course, we don't talk about that. I mean, to talk about that would be to insult free enterprise, I guess. Sick bastards. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone. Oh, Lord, I think it'd be the cotton. Oh, Lord, I can think it'd be the day. Oh, me, my buddy, can't think it'd be the cotton. Me, my buddy, can't think it'd be the day. Me, my buddy, can't think it'd be the cotton. Me, my buddy, can't think it'd be the day. Oh, Lord, I can think it'd be the cotton. Oh, Lord, I can think it'd be the day. Oh, Lord, I can think it'd be the cotton. Oh, Lord, I can think it'd be the day. Oh, me, my papa, can't think it'd be the cotton.
Is that an eclipse of the sun, or is that Haley Barbour's big old ass? What is it there?
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy. I just have a question.
Yeah, cut the music.
Was Haley Barbour the one that was complaining and whining about the prisoners at Gitmo who got the double servings of fruit and got to live in the tropical paradise? And
no, but it might as well have been. It's just another Republican. Yeah. Oh, my God. These people are just so sick. Kay got an email from Kay here. She writes, Mike, regarding the governor of West Virginia's statements that the miners, quote, didn't suffer, end quote, and that, quote, now the healing begins, end quote, nothing makes me angrier than the trite expressions people feel compelled to share with those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. For example, he's at peace now, or she's in a better place now, or it was God's will, or God has his perfect plan, or everything happens for a reason. That last one, Kay writes, makes me especially furious. Everything happens for a reason. Tell that to the little girl who was just raped by her father or her priest or her older sibling. Everything happens for a reason. I will never forget what a good friend of mine said when his mother passed away about 10 years ago. He said, quote, losing a parent will kick your ass. And you know what? When my dad died last year, it was that friend's honest words that gave me comfort. While the many platitudes that came my way just pissed me off. I could not be zen about my father's horrible illness and death. I was, and still am, angry about it. And thank goodness my friend was wise and honest enough to tell me the truth about his own experience, which allowed me to be honest and open about my own grief. I could only imagine what the families of those West Virginia miners are going through in confronting what is essentially the murder of their loved ones at the hands of Don Blankenship and Massey Energy. I only know that if the governor of West Virginia dared to say to me what he said to those families, well, I would tell him to take his so-called healing and firmly shove it up a certain body orifice. Okay. Yeah, I can't believe the guy said that. I mean, they're in a better place now. Time for the healing. And you want one more example of craziness? Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota has said that April is to be Abortion Recovery Month. Abortion Recovery Month. The statement supports, quote, abortion recovery programs that reinforce a culture of life and hope. What?
Sounds like those Christian groups that do those re-virginalizing ceremonies where they magically restore you.
They sew something back in?
Well, spiritually.
Oh, spiritually.
You were spiritually returned to a virginal state. Or like those rebirther people who smother you with blankets and make you crawl back out of the womb if you don't suffocate first.
Yeah, and so many
crazy
people,
religious
yeah.
people everywhere.
Oh, man. In his press statement about the proclamation, Governor Paul Lenti said, Abortion Recovery Month encourages and promotes healing opportunities and raises awareness of the aftermath of abortion experienced by individuals and families. I don't know. It's just madness. It's just madness. Republicans are just degenerate bastards. They really are. Just degenerate bastards. My God. And just the last thing, I'll touch on this. We're going to open up the lines. In a moment. Henry Kissinger is further implicated in the assassination plot against no, not Kennedy. Against well, first of all, against the former ambassador from Chile to the United States, Orlando Letelier, I believe, you know, part of Operation Condor, was plans for political assassinations around the world. And the South American nations of Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay that were all right-wing at the time were engaged in a program of repression codenamed Operation Condor that targeted those three governments' political opponents throughout Latin America, Europe, and even the United States. Man. And Kissinger, of course, was involved in so much murder during his term as Secretary of State and even before and even after. Just an absolute killer. If ever there was a high-ranking American government official who was involved in absolute murder and mayhem, it was Henry Kissinger. You all know that. You know that. Yeah, we'll get to we'll probably get to this, but we want to take some phone calls now. The number here is 877-996-2556. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour, our good friend Reg at TVNewsLies.org sent me an email. There is another WikiLeaks.org is coming out with another video. It's going to be another example of the heroism of U.S. troops. This one involves, I believe, Afghanistan and the slaughter of an inordinately high number of civilians. I don't have all the details. Kath, can you turn that bit? That's coming out soon. As soon as it's de-encrypted, the U.S. military takes great pains to make sure that nobody ever, ever, ever sees these videos, except for the sociopaths that they, I mean, the real sociopaths that they get to enlist. They take them in the back room and show them this stuff and say, see, it's just like a video game, except you really get to kill people. Ward in Japan writes about Massey Energy's CEO, Don Blankenship, Massey Energy that owned the coal mine where 29 miners died last week. Ward writes, Massey CEO Don Blankenship was the subject of an ABC report in April of 2008. The report documented how Blankenship raised $3.5 million to get a justice elected to the West Virginia Supreme Court, who then voted in Massey's favor and got them off the hook for millions in damage claims. And P.S., the topper of the Iraq massacre video for me was when a soldier on the ground asked to take the wounded children to the American hospital for treatment and was told, no, give her to the local police. Yeah, that part was pretty grim, too. And then you see the soldier running with this wounded child to a nearby Iraqi police car. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff here. I mean, you get into this stuff and you just start to trip, you know? Just mind trip. Oh, don't you love the fact that now that Justice John Paul Stevens has decided that he is going to resign? I mean, my God, he's fairly old, isn't he? Not that that's a reason to resign, but it's up to him if he feels that that he's too old to participate in the vigors of the Supreme Court any longer. It's up to him to make that decision. But it's just fun in a very macabre sort of way to watch these filthy Republicans threatening President Obama again that he better not come up with another one of those Puerto Rican bitches. Better not come up with another one of them. No, no, no women. What? She's a Catholic? It doesn't matter. You know, when John Paul Stevens resigns, he'll be the last Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court. What are there? Six Catholics right now, one Jew and one Protestant. But the Republicans are getting their, they're gearing up. They have all their signs ready. They just have left a blank where it says blank is a communist, blank is a socialist, blank supports abortion, blank hates America, right? And as soon as Obama releases the name of the nominee, I hope it's Hillary Clinton. I hope it is. Now the White House is saying, no, 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 even though rumors, you know, start circulating. I would love to see Hillary Clinton as a Supreme. No, no, look, look, look. Don't send me emails and tell me that she's another corporate pig. Obviously, the woman is a right-wing corporatist, just like her husband. But you got to figure, I mean, the Supreme Court is gone. It is not a body. A co co-equal body of the U.S. government that makes decisions based on the Constitution. It's not that any longer, all right? It is what it is. It's a body of religious freaks who make decisions that say a corporation has the same rights of speech as a human being. That's how sick that is. It is a group of sorry bastards who makes a decision December 12th, 2000 that says, whoa, wait a minute, got to stop the vote counting because if we continue, George Bush loses and that would hurt George Bush. Now, I don't even want to talk about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court sucks. It sucks worse than the legislative branch. So as far as Hillary Clinton being on the Supreme Court, I could not care less. It just matters not a whit to me. The only way it matters is the fact that it might become that one final straw that breaks Glenn Beck's back and he grabs his revolver and blows his brains out on air. Now, if that were to happen as a result of Hillary Clinton's being nominated and confirmed to the Supreme Court, I would say that Hillary Clinton had done this country an enormous favor. An enormous favor. Something is going to push Beck over the edge. It will. I just hope he doesn't wipe out his entire family when he commits suicide. But when he does, and surely he will.
He said it before. He just,
If and when the time comes that Beck feels that he has to kill himself, God forbid that he should do such a thing. But if the time comes when he feels that he has to do that, fulfill his destiny, it would be just great fun to me and a huge source of contentment to know that it happened because Hillary Clinton became a Supreme Court justice. Oh, my God. The best part of the evening here, Franklin is in Detroit. Franklin, wait a minute while we adjust the sound. Good God. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Franklin, talk to me.
Well, I was just thinking, with Dixie Carter dying, it made me start thinking about designing women. And then I realized Sarah Palin is Suzanne Sugarbaker. Well, I mean, just think about it, man. They both come from the beauty pageant circuit.
Right.
They did the TV, a news thing.
Right.
They both say outrageous things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's just Sarah Palin and Suzanne Sugarbaker without money.
Well, she's getting money. She's getting paid pretty good.
Yeah, well, she's making it now. But yeah, she's just Suzanne Sugarbaker without money.
All right. Okay. I can see that. I can see that. Thanks, Franklin. Yeah, Sarah Palin, you know, she's your typical Republican. She saw a chance to steal money by working the terminally stupid, by showing up at these rallies, just like Oliver North and Sean Hannity. They get paid by stealing money from the families of dead soldiers. It's incredible. And you know the thing about Oliver North and Sean Hannity? Nobody will stop them. Nobody. The crew.org has published online the tax return. It's several places. The tax return of Freedom Alliance. $1.4 million on postage. I mean, I can't, my brain won't unlock from that. That's what those filthy ghouls, Oliver North, a disgrace to the United States Marine Corps, and Sean Hannity, a punk that never should have gotten advanced any further than working at his local fast food restaurant, stealing money from dead soldiers' families.
Thank you.
liberal helping of truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
Rick in San Francisco writes, subject line, things really don't change. Rick writes, growing up in West Virginia, I heard tales of the mines from the old timers. Most memorable was the assessment of the value of mules versus men, which I heard a couple of times from different folks. Went like this. Oh, a seasoned mule was a valuable thing. More than a man, even. Hell, you had to care for a mule, feed it, and if it was sick, a veterinarian was called, because a seasoned mule was hard to come by. But if a man was hurt or killed, shoot, there's plenty of them around. Go hire another. I'd say that is the Republican ideal for labor relations. Rick in San Francisco. Yeah, that's the corporate America attitude for sure. That's the way it's been since the country was founded on slavery and genocide. And that's what this country was founded on. Come on, sorry to upset you little flag-waving right-wing freaks, but it was founded on slavery and genocide. And, you know, you kill one of your slaves, well, hell, that's a punishable offense, you know. Or if somebody else was to kill one of your slaves, my goodness, you could sue him, you could whip him. But if, you know, somebody was to kill your brother, well, then you just challenge him to a duel or something. But, you know, slaves, man, slaves were valuable. Of course, Civil War wasn't nothing about none of that. Wasn't about nothing about slaves. Civil War was about the heroes, the terrorist bastards who decided to overthrow the U.S. government by seceding. By saying, we're out of here. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm all for it now. I'm all for the Federation of American States. Maybe if we break up this behemoth, we'll stop invading other countries. I wonder who would get the nukes. You suppose the nukes would go to the South? The Southeast? The old Confederacy? Can you imagine that? The Confederated United States, maybe five or six chunks of what used to be the United States of America would now be the Confederated States of America. And I'm sure most of the members of the old Confederacy would hang together, with possible exception of Tennessee. Tennessee might say, no, look, y'all are crazy. North Carolina would probably say the same thing, which would kind of isolate Virginia. That is coming. The Confederated States of America is coming. It surely is. Give the swamp-infested, mosquito-infested section of the country to them good old boys who say, well, now, the South, you know, the Civil War, or actually it was the War of Northern Aggression. That was all about states' rights. These people make me so sick. Oh, my God. Terrorists. In any other society or country, the secessionists are the terrorists. And that's true here, too. They were the terrorists. They were the ones who decided to commit murder and mayhem. As a result, the United States got involved in an internecine battle that cost the lives of almost a million American citizens. Blue is in Australia. Hey, Blue, the pilot. Hello, Blue. Where are we? There's Blue. Hey, Blue.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing today? Good day to you. Where are you today?
I'm at a place called Lady Elliot Island, which is an island off the Queensland coast on the reef.
Yeah.
And I'm about to toast you and Kath and your family with a nice glass of South Australian Shiraz.
I love it. We drink Australian wine, a lot of it in this country, unless it's grown by out on the West Coast, we have a couple of listeners who have wineries. They send us some pretty good wine, but I love Australian wine.
Well, good on you. I was in South Africa not long ago.
Right.
I get there from time to time.
Yeah, you called us, remember?
And right. And while I was out there, I visited Robben Island, which was the place where Nelson Mandela was kept cooped up for 27-odd years. I don't know how he did it. But when I got back, I was listening to your show, and I heard somebody call in about a concert that Paul McCartney had given. I don't know where it was, in Los Angeles, I think it was.
I believe it was, right.
And evidently a number of people walked out when some images of Obama were flashed on the screen.
Right. Hey, can you hold that thought?
Right.
All right, hold it right there, because I've got to do some commercials. We'll come right back and pick it up there. We're talking with Blue from Lady Elliot Island off the coast of Australia. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Sometimes again it seems all I have is worth. Then you finally see me in my own side.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. We're talking with Blue, who is calling from Lady Elliot Island off the coast of Australia. All right, McCartney.
Evidently somebody was talking about a concert, and some people walked out.
Right.
And your take on it was that those people must have been racist or you know, right-wing extremists or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it called to mind something that happened to my wife and I about a month ago. We were in Sydney visiting her family and went to an event that was sponsored by one of the local arts councils, and it had to do with celebrating peacemakers, and involved exhibits of sculptures and paintings and things like that of people who were involved in making peace and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing much the same thing. It sounds like they were projecting images on the screen of people like Nelson Mandela and Gandhi and Rigoberta Menchu, the woman from Guatemala,
mm-hmm.
Archbishop Romero from San Salvador, who was murdered by the CIA, or Oliver North or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point they flash an image on the screen of Barack Obama. And my sister's, my wife's sister, Leslie, is very outspoken, jumped up immediately and said, you know, how dare you include Barack Obama among the peacemakers when he's, you know, conducting mm-hmm. these wars of aggression
mm-hmm.
in Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth. And isn't it an insult to the memory of people like Martin Luther King, and Archbishop Romero, and Aung San Suu Kyi from Burma, who was also part of the exhibit. There were photographs and paintings
right.
there. And there was a lot of approval. People were clapping and whistling and cheering when Leslie made that pronouncement. And so I think it's worth remembering that the way this fellow is perceived outside the United States is probably a great deal different than the way he's seen in your country.
Mm-hmm.
Not perceived as someone who is necessarily admirable or a peacemaker. And I don't think that any of the people who were cheering in the crowd that day were racist or right wing or anything of that sort. Pretty liberal group on the whole.
Well, let me, that's an interesting point, Blue. Let me respond to that. I'll do it on the program here so that we can, so you're not holding on or running up your cell bill. And I appreciate you checking in. People in the United States do not consider, Barack Obama to be a peacemaker. I don't think there's anybody in this country who sees him that way. The right wing, the racists, the Republicans, the teabaggers, whatever you want to call them, they hate him because he's a black man, period. There is no debate. Trust me on that one, Blue. I live here. The liberals, the progressives, people like me, realize that the expression up here is we bought a pig in the poke. We thought Barack Obama was going to be someone that he has not shown himself to be as of yet. Now, there's some debate going around among the lunatic left that Obama is just kind of biding his time, and he's eventually going to spring the real Obama on the United States and show that he is a peacemaker this and a someone who brings the end to that. And most of us in this country do not believe that. The incident that occurred in California, where Obama was mentioned, it was not in the context, I don't believe. I've kind of forgotten the story at this point, but it was in a different context. And the mere flashing of his face on the screen caused people to boo and to get up and walk out, which they certainly have a right to do. But I'll stand by my comments. Again, since I live in this culture, I live in this society, I pretty well know what it means now when people boo Obama. People on the so-called left, you know, we're not going to boo him. We're not going to walk out. What we would do, given a chance, is try to confront him with questions or demands, which I'm sure most of us are doing using emails now, since nobody opens letters anymore. Demands editorially, demands on blogs, demands on emails. Why aren't you living up to what I thought you were? Kind of along those lines. So as far as the people in Australia booing him, in the context of listing him as a peacemaker, sure. That makes sense. I don't know if white people in Australia are more or less racist than white people in the United States. I have no idea. I have read things, I have seen things, videos and movies, and I know of the attempt to assimilate Aborigine children back in the day that was literal crimes against people in that country, indigenous people. But insofar as the racist or racial attitudes, I don't have a clue what they are in your country. I've heard things of, yada, yada, yada. But I do understand this country perfectly. So when I said that those catcalls and walkouts were based on race, I know of which I'm speaking. And all you can do on that one, Blue, is trust me. People in Australia being offended because Obama was linked with real peacemakers, well, certainly. I mean, I can understand that, too. Had McCartney or anyone made such a mistake here, then my response would not have been, well, those are racists. My response would have been that, yeah, he doesn't belong in that group. And he doesn't. Not yet, and probably not ever. But the people who walked out when Obama's picture was shown on the screen would be the same people who would walk out had McCartney made positive statements about Dr. King or Gandhi or anyone who is not white. And again, I don't understand the racial or racialist or racist situation in Australia. But I understand this one damn well. Trust me on that, Blue. You know, I was brought up in the northern part of this country where racism is hidden. And for 40 years, I've lived in the southern part of this country where racism is blatant and out in the open. So Thanks for calling, pal. Arvid in Wisconsin, regarding slavery is no big deal in the Civil War, Arvid writes, Mike, hey, you know, if slavery was no big deal, maybe we should show it by ripping the book of Exodus out of our Bibles. Yeah, good point. Wouldn't that be something? I wonder if this dumbass governor of Virginia, I wonder how he would feel about that. I'm sure when he reads his inerrant Bible, being the evangelical cracker that he really is, I'm sure that Exodus, oh yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Israelites broke from the bondage of, who was it? Oh, that's right, Pharaoh. They're crazy. Stephen is in Burbank, California. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
We have some news. Christmas was in the ether that one of our nephews is going to join the Army. So I call him out to the patio and give him the rap. You know what the rap is, you know?
Yeah.
They want to turn you into a murderer. They're, you know, and they'll, you'll see a guy in a Rolls Royce and he'll give you thumbs up and wink and nod and say, great, beautiful. But if you could read his thought bubble, he would be telling you, you're a sucker and a chump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gave him the whole rap. And what gasses me is the home environment is beautiful. I would look at it as middle class, above middle class, you
mm-hmm.
know, not really upper middle class. But it's in San Diego County. It's Chula Vista near San Diego. And I guess the snots at school, you know, have them believing that, you know, it's not cool to be living with your parents when you're 18.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like school, and he was looking for a job. And the parents said, stay here with us. You can volunteer at the animal shelter. You can go to the zoo. You can do anything you want. But because I see this as being an offshoot of the bootstraps mentality, you know, it's not cool to live with your parents when you're 18.
Right, right.
And so I tried to tell him what's what. I tried to tell him what happened to me. I said, look, dude, in 1968, I sold my bootstraps for a pack of cigarettes, and I have not even regretted it since.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Because I went to jail on my own. I didn't go to jail with anybody else. I got classified, this, that, and the other, so that I couldn't be drafted. And a lot of other people were running off to Canada, and then they came back and got pardoned by Carter, amnesty, you know, and I'm just
right.
wondering how many of those guys are cashing in on the stock market with Halliburton and Boeing and General Electric and all that stuff. But anyway, what I'm wondering is when he comes back on leave, you know, during another Christmas or Thanksgiving, if he's going to give me the stuff, like if they're going to really brainwash him about the moss and apple pie stuff. Because that happened to me again with my younger brother in 1972 when he joined the Marines. And he came back and he said, oh, and he was all vicious, you know, and he was all ready to kill. And he was all, and so it's just, we'll just see what happens. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. But it's this prevailing attitude. Us hardcore lefties, we just have to call it like it's a false consciousness. You know, do not believe what the power structure wants you to believe.
Yeah. Hey, hold on just a second, Stephen. I got a break here. Just stay right there a second. Before the hour, we were talking with Stephen of Burbank. All right, Stephen.
Yeah. I liked what Blue was saying about the peacemakers. But anyway, the nephew, I'm just wondering what he's going to be like during leave, you know, at the
right,
gathering.
So has he already completed his basic training?
No, I only found out about it Easter.
Oh.
And when Barbara came in and told me about it, I said, oh, blue horse feathers. And that's exactly what she said. And she doesn't use that kind of language like we don't use that kind of language anymore.
Right.
And
exactly.
So we have to go along the premise that we just hope things turn out okay. We, we don't know what's going to happen. But I like what Blue was saying, and I hope Blue is a surfer. Maybe if I'd been talking to the nephew about surfing, he'd be surfing and he wouldn't go to war.
Well, Blue is an airline pilot.
Yeah, well, a lot of surfers in Australia, and they're pretty good.
That's true. All right, Steven, I got a boogie. Thanks, man, all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, take care. Take care. Yeah, when my son about 10 years ago decided he wanted to join the Navy. Yeah, right after, was it right after Bush was elected?
Yeah, and you were so prescient. I mean, Bush had only been in office maybe a month, and you said, Chris, this madman is going to take us into a war.
And the way I, you know,
don't go in the Navy now, son.
Right, and the way I talked him out of it, my brother-in-law is a naval officer, and I just said, you talk to Ken. You want to join the Navy? My brother-in-law, he was my brother-in-law. His wife, my sister, is now dead, but Ken was Republican, a real Republican, you know. Certainly a social liberal, but a Republican nonetheless. And he was a lieutenant in the Navy, two tours in Vietnam, time as shore duty in Italy. And he had a chat with my son Chris, his nephew, and said, the last thing you want to do, the last thing you want to do is join the military, join the Navy. Don't do it. And this came from a naval officer, so. Naval officer. Frank is in Fairmont, West Virginia. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
First-time caller.
Well, welcome welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. A great show. I'm actually heading to Raleigh County as we speak, where the tragic disaster occurred. And I heard some of your comments, and I was in total agreement with many of your statements, and I just wanted to give you a little background on one of the reasons that I think this tragic disaster happened. Massey being a non-union coal mine, if the men speak out against any safety violations, they basically will not be working the next day.
Right, right.
And I actually, my office is in the United Mine Workers of America office up in Fairmont, and not more than a month ago, the men up there found out about some falsifying of records on some methane levels, and obviously you can speak out in a union mine and not have to worry about losing your employment. And I think that is one of the main reasons that we had that tragic disaster, that the men just don't have the freedom to point out the violations that are going on in the mine, Mike.
Right. Oh, no, I completely agree. You know, when you have the business is kind of irrelevant in this respect. If you have an or a non-unionized workforce, those workers, whether it's in the mines or in an office or in a factory, those workers are subject to any type of maltreatment, mistreatment, abuse, loss of their jobs, forced to work in hazardous conditions, breathing stuff, that'll kill them, just on and on and on. Whereas, an organized labor force will not stand for that. And that's why when Reagan took office, of course, in 1980, his first act as president was to bust the Air Traffic Controllers Union, just bust it into a million pieces. And that was a signal to corporate America that said, hey, Reagan started the attempt to break into a million pieces everything that Roosevelt had put together in the so-called New Deal. And it took him 30 years, but they pretty much have succeeded now. I think the nail in the coffin was this health insurance reform business that has come under the Obama administration. Reagan's actions and Obama's actions, I think, bracket that 30-year destruction of everything that Roosevelt had put together. Anyway, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Frank. Good luck with you know, your attempts to help unionize that mine. And I don't mean, you know, like good luck. I mean seriously. Watch your back. Be careful. And if I were you, I would certainly do what I always do, and that is go about that kind of a business fully armed. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? West Virginia countryside is littered with the bodies of people who decided to go against big coal, corporate America. And a lot of those people were union organizers. So watch your back. We're out of here. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.